On Sirius XM, Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking tonight about keeping arts education in schools and beyond, the benefits and the challenges of doing that. My guests are three-time Tony Award-winning choreographer Hinton Battle and Andrea Long Naidu, former principal dancer of the Dance Theater of Harlem and faculty member of Dance in Bethesda. We are still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're a parent, and you believe your child has a particular arts-related talent, and you're trying to figure that out, or if you're a parent who has a child who is well involved in the arts, not, and of course, not just dance, not just singing, but any of the visual arts as well, and you're trying to figure out where do they go, what should they do? We have some experts here who can obviously provide you with some guidance. Kian, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Kian. What's on your mind?
Hey, good evening. Thank you for taking my call, first of all. Thank you. I was calling. I'm not a parent. I don't have any kids, but I am a product of a public school system in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was in the arts while I was growing up. I was involved in the band and the marching band, symphonic band. They're exposed. I'm the first generation to go to college, but if it wasn't for the band, I would never be exposed to colleges, and not only colleges, historically black colleges and universities. I've never had a chance know what they were, how to apply, the scholarships that are available to me. So I went to an HBCU on a band scholarship as well as an academic scholarship. Thanks for being too involved in the band program. So when I'm hearing that some school systems want to take arts and out of the school for students, I think that's a terrible idea because the exposure that that will be taken away from the students is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a lot of, you know, I know they talk about, I think a caller talked about a few minutes before, geometry and algebra. I'm 30 years old today, and I'm actually a college professor, and I've yet to use any type of algebra or geometry in there. But
there's an app for that.
Right,
I think, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, there's apps for that. As a professor, I still listen to the college band. I still listen to music. I can still write music. I still... I'm not an expert on the keyboard, but I will sit down on the keyboard and play certain music or hear a certain note.
Well, Kian, I appreciate the input that you have here, and obviously, geometry and algebra notwithstanding, that you remain a well-rounded person.
Yeah.
And so thank you so much for your input, and also big shout out for your HBCU experience. Thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Leona from Northwest. Leona, what's on your mind?
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm an arts educator and a parent. My daughter, well, first of all, I loved all music in school.
Well, what do you teach?
It was part of my life.
What do you teach, Leona?
Well, I'm actually the dean of the arts program at Northwestern High School.
Okay.
But I'm a former music teacher. But I'm right here in the DMV area in PG County Public Schools. So I'm over all the arts at our school, and my daughter is a nurse, but at her point in high school, I made sure she was very much in tune to all the arts, and so even though she chose the path of medicine, she still sings, she's still very much involved. So I agree with the callers before saying that it's so important to make sure the students and children are exposed because they just never leave it. It just makes them better learners, but just better people, actually better people.
And supporters of the art, which is very important.
Yes. And I think one of the things that is important, well, I find myself educating everybody, not just students, but administrators, teachers. So, when administrators and when school leaders understand the importance, then they're going to turn and then put it into schools. So when the leaders and the administrators and those people in charge of the big bucks rolling, if they don't get it, then of course it's going to, travel down to the students. So I think we all have to continue educating, even those at those upper echelons of academia. If they don't understand the importance, then of course if they're not going to fund it.
Leona, I don't want to necessarily put you on Front Street, but I do have a question. You know, in your capacity as the Dean of Arts Education at Northwestern, I'm sure you've had an opportunity to make some observations, not just here locally, but perhaps even talking to some of your colleagues around the region or even around the nation. What kind of support are modern public school systems giving, you know, for the arts? Is it kind of lackluster? Are some places stronger than others? What are your thoughts about that?
Definitely some places are stronger than others. I see a lot of strength here in the D.C. area. I know I'm in Hyattsville, so there's an arts district, and there's, you know, you can't, you know, shake a stick without hitting a painter or a dancer. However, sometimes, you know, still, I heard someone say STEM, you know, parents are, they still are a little scared to let their students, you know, maybe explore more in the arts. So I think it depends on the location, like you were saying, and, you know, maybe the neighborhood around, because I know some of my colleagues who are not in arts-rich neighborhoods have more difficult times, you know, finding support. So definitely the area and the area, and like I say, administration and just who is, you know, moving those cogs and wheels.
Okay. Leona, thank you so much for sharing with
us.
You're welcome. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Bridget, calling from Northeast D.C. What's on your mind, Bridget?
Hi, this is Bridget. Thank you so much for this show. It's really phenomenal. And I'm the mother of a son who went through D.C. public schools and, you know, went to Hardy and Ellington and graduated from Towson in music performance and jazz studies. And I just see what they're starting to talk about now around STEAM, which is, you know, STEM plus the arts. And it really does build a sense of self and skill and discipline, understanding about, you know, innovation and business and marketing. And it creates, you know, multi-generational ties that are extremely important. And I noticed that one of the things that happens in the D.C. area, or especially in D.C., is that we have this sense that we got to do everything from a strictly academic standpoint, and we just test our kids to death, and they don't do well with that. So we really ought to learn that lesson. And I just want to encourage folks to come out at these next two community meetings to decide or to say what the community wants in our next chancellor on September 7th and September 14th.
Well, Bridget, thank you so much for that PSA and needed information. So thank you so much.
And just one other thing.
Go ahead.
Everybody doesn't learn the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't a great academic, but when it got to the arts, it was easier for me to transfer it over. So I needed the arts. I mean, I pretty much stayed in the music room with the music teacher. Helped with my math. It helped with, you know, all these other things, you know, learning how to read music, you know, all these things that were, I could use another discipline. So you got to find what works for your child. Yeah. It's not saying that your child is going to want to pursue a career in the arts, but it's only going to help them. I mean, it really will help them. Because if without the arts, I don't know if I would have been doing what I'm doing.
And that brings me to Bridget again. Thank you so much. Bridget.
Yeah, Bridget. Yeah, and that's such a great point. And the reality is that we have white students all around the area learning jazz and very few black students having an opportunity to learn musical instruments and understand our heritage.
Something to think about, Bridget. Thank you so much for your input.
The history of it.
That brings me to, you know, the other point that I wanted to make. The Soulful Symphony that was created by Darren Atwater. And you mentioned supporting the arts. And this is really a big deal, you know, for the black community. Soulful Symphony, the first all black classical music,
right.
Symphony.
Yeah.
With some probably 70 or 80 musicians. But one of its biggest supporters, Eddie and Sylvia Brown, the investment banker in Baltimore, African American couple that has, you know, put in hundreds of thousands of dollars to support this without the financial commitment from people like the Browns and other organizations,
right.
This would be a bigger struggle.
I mean, look at the renowned Dance Theater of Harlem. Mm-hmm. The company had to shut down. There was no funding for this amazing company that gave opportunities to dancers of color. I mean, it had to shut down for, I went on hiatus for like, I don't know, maybe 9 years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of dancers lost their careers and had to go to different companies. And
they go to Europe.
They, you know, and ballet dancers who were in Dance Theater of Harlem, which is a ballet company, ended up going to Alvin Ailey, which is a modern company. I mean, that's like for a ballerina taking off her pointe shoes because there was no money. Mm-hmm. And we have to start as a community putting into our community. You know,
and supporting the arts, you
because
really got to.
It's the truth. You know, I mean, companies like Alvin Ailey are where they are now because, you know, it's a black company. But
meaning what's wrong with that?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. But their funding. Mm-hmm. OK, it's a black product.
Mm-hmm. And so they may not necessarily have the contacts that, you know, the other companies from the majority population may have.
Well, I'm going to say it like this. Alvin Ailey has gone, they've crossed the boards. Do you understand what I mean? They have white supporters. They have black supporters. They have everything.
Yeah.
Where a company like Dance Theater of Harlem has not found that audience. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for black audiences to support them.
In the early days.
Yes. Not now.
No.
Now, what impact, for example, does for Misty Copeland have on the arts, or Hamilton have on the arts? And I ask that because I remember, let's take Hamilton, for example, a friend of mine mentioned last fall, I'm going to New York and I'm going to see, you know, Hamilton. It's a black play about Alexander Hamilton. Well, Alexander Hamilton was white, and, you know, Aaron Burr was white. I had no idea. I said, that sounds like some foolishness to me. I'm going to be, you know, and she came back. She said, I couldn't get tickets.
Yeah.
You know, and what is she talking about? And the Misty Copeland phenomena as well. This has to put some energy behind arts in community and
stuff. Absolutely it does. I mean, it brings a new face to an art form that's been around forever. It brings hip-hop to Broadway that they've been trying to do forever, successfully. It's taking away what they've been talking about forever about, you know, we're going to cast whoever's right for the role, as opposed to we need a white actor, we need a black actor, we need a Mexican actor, we need a Puerto Rican actor, we need a It's about the talent. And that's what the arts is about, the talent. It's not about race. And that's been the big issue. So you get a Hamilton where this one's black, this one's white, this one is Latin. It's the story. It's told well. And it's hip-hop music.
Mm.
So, you know, people are finally opening up their eyes and kind of going, oh, that's what no color means.
Mm-hmm.
It really, you mean no color, not one black girl in the court of ballet or one white person. You know, it's no colors.
When I come back, I want to find out a little bit more about you two, your backgrounds, and also what do you tell parents who are saying, does my kid have it? And even if I want them to have it, do they not have it? We'll talk about it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You know what they say, your baby can't sing, but it's okay. We'll be back in just a bit.
Andy, I'm going to let you answer these questions.
Woo! Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're continuing our conversation about keeping arts education in the schools and beyond. My guests are three-time Tony Award-winning choreographer Hinton Battle and Andrea Long-Nadeau, former principal dancer of the Dance Theater of Harlem and faculty member of Dance in Bethesda. Of course, they have an event coming up next week, it is a soul dance and, yeah, barbecue. I mean, of course. Soul dance and barbecue. That's what I think.
Soul, eat some barbecue and dance.
That's right. Or the reverse, and you may not be able to dance. But if you want information about this two-day event on September 10th and 11th, you can check it out at souldancebbq.com, souldancebbq.com. And as always, I'll make sure that information is posted on our website on the Daily Drum page on WHUR.com. I want to start with you, Andrea, because you're a Philly girl.
Yes.
And when did you know that you had it? When were you bitten by the dance bug? Were you bitten, or was it something that came from your parents?
It was actually my mother. I had three brothers, and I was the only girl. And my mother wanted me to take ballet. And she said, Pennsylvania Ballet is having an audition. Would you like to go? I was like, yeah, sure.
How old were you?
I was 7.
Okay. And you remember that?
Yeah. And they saw something in me. And I went and did my first ballet class, and I came home and I said to my mother and father, at 7 years old, I'm going to be a ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. I just felt it. It hit me.
When, throughout the course of your career, what impact did it have on academics for you, you know, when it came to, you know, elementary school, you know, high school? Where do you think you would be without that? How did it impact your early life?
Well, I ended up in Philadelphia going to a great school. It was called the Philadelphia Performing Arts School. And I was so focused. I don't know who I would be if I didn't go to that school and had dance. I'm not sure who I would be.
But you went to a performing arts school. A lot of people don't have that opportunity.
Yeah, I know. And that's it's hard. And, you know, it got really hard for me. I'm going to be honest, because mm-hmm. I was really a very serious ballet student. It got very hard for me in school to go to a normal school. I had to go to a school that understood my schedule,
mm-hmm.
where I could, you know, and I wanted to dance. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I just wanted to dance all day.
Mm-hmm.
And homework, I knew I had to have an education, which was very important to my family. So for my mother and father, it worked that I went to a performing arts school, because I had to be in the studio like all day training.
Mm-hmm. Same question for you, Hinton. You grew up here, but you were born overseas,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in Germany.
Germany.
When did you realize that you had a taste for this particular art? You know, what was that early aha moment for you?
Believe it or not, the early aha came to me after I had been studying for 4 years.
Where?
You studied here in Washington at Jones Hayward School of Ballet. And that came about because our elementary school did a production of The Nutcracker. It became a huge hit, and because I used to have to go and watch my sisters take ballet class, I knew like one step. So I just did that over and over. That one step over and over. A pot of bourree over and over again. They're like, oh, this kid is great. So they put us in this ballet. Everybody had an audition. And in July, we were still doing the Nutcracker. You know, schools were bussing in from all over D.C. to see this Nutcracker. And Jones Hayward came, and they gave about 5 of us scholarships. And my mother's like, you're going? My father's like, I want to know. No, mm-hmm. You're going. So I went, and after the first year, I was like, I want to quit. And my mother says, well, you know, you did a year. Why don't you just try it one more year? If you don't like it after one more year, you can quit.
Why did you want to quit?
I hated it.
Putting
that on them tights. Yeah, I mean, right, them belt. Yeah. No, I mm-hmm. didn't like it. So I did the second year, and I said, okay, I did 2 years. Let me out. Well, you did 2 years. It's such a waste. You just go ahead and one more year. You can quit and you do whatever. Did the third year. Same story. I went out. She said, okay, you can quit. But you come straight home from school, and I want you out there playing no football, no basketball. I want you to get home. When I come home from work, you better be in this house. All right, I'll go back to ballet. And then I got a scholarship to go to New York City, School of American Ballet in New York, and study there. And that's when I was around. Everybody in that school is geared to be a ballet dancer.
So that's when I kind of got into it, in the competition of it, in the, you know, getting better, and, you know, the friendly competition. But it was very competitive school. We were both
from the School of American Ballet.
And she went on to go to New York City Ballet for...
I danced with New York City Ballet for like 9 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the Tonys.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I won 3 Tonys. The first one was Sophisticated Ladies. Great show with Phyllis Hyman, God bless her. Judith Jameson, Gregory Hines, God bless him. Greg Burge, was incredible cast. It was basically your high gloss TV show done on stage. Mm-hmm. Variety show. A lot of dancing. I was partnered up with Greg Burge. And it was really dancing. We did very little singing and no acting. And that was my first Tony Award. And I think I went to that with Debbie Allen was my date.
Wow. Well, that's the real prize right there. I got a Tony, but let me tell you.
Yeah, my date was
Debbie. Let me tell you about my date. And the other two?
The second one was the Tap Dance Kid.
Okay.
Oh,
and
amazing.
That one I was tapping, and I wasn't a tap dancer, so I had to learn how to tap dance. So again, with the discipline of ballet, I knew how to go in a studio and learn something and start from zero and not beat myself up because I didn't know what I was doing. And I had singing, and there was acting. It was a great role. It's a great role. In fact, I don't know if I should say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I have the rights to do it again on Broadway.
Okay.
So I'm going to be producing it 2018 on Broadway.
And the last one?
Miss Saigon.
Oh, wow.
Yep. All singing, dramatic, all singing. And that was a great role. The song was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Man, three big, you know, household names when it comes to, you know Broadway plays and musicals. I want to talk to you briefly in my last few minutes for parents who think, for example, Andrea, that my kid may have it. You know, how much do you push them before you give up, or how far do you push them to the point where you think how do you know?
As a teacher or as a parent?
As a teacher, as a parent, because parents
are teachers. Well, with ballet,
it's
so transparent. I mean, you either, you know, you either have it or you don't. Ballet requires, it requires certain physical talent. The right kind of legs, the right kind of, am I kidding?
No, not at all.
It requires all that. So it eliminates all the thinking, you know. Because as you progress with dance, it gets harder and harder, and certain bodies have limitations.
What do you mean by that?
Flexibility.
Flexibility
is very,
yeah.
very important in dance.
I mean,
you have to be flexible.
This sounds crazy, but you need to be able to take your leg up and put it next to your ear.
Mm-hmm. And if your hips aren't loose and open to do that, well, then obviously.
It's
going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
And, you know, and again, that is ballet, and you've got to, every dance discipline has a different aesthetic it's looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, a hip hop dancer can have bent knees and crooked ankles, and
that's
it's
fine.
The feeling, and it doesn't matter. It's whether they can hit it hard and get the groove and make it snap. But ballet is a whole nother aesthetic. Modern dance is a whole nother aesthetic.
Yeah.
So it just depends on where they want to go. And also in answer to that, the child will tell you if they want it or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not verbally.
Yeah. When I have students, there's something about how they approach it, how they stand up, how they're concentrating. I know they want to be there. I can see it in their eyes. I can see it.
You can just tell.
You just know it.
Yeah.
And like I said before the last break, so what do you tell the parents when baby can't dance, or when the child is tone deaf, and apparently the parents are as well? How do you let them down easy? How do you tell them, you know, maybe they should consider a career in STEM? You know,
I think the arts, dance, any dance form in the arts is for everyone to enjoy. Mm-hmm. I do. There does come a point where I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You know, and I try to stay away from that, to tell you the truth.
And a lot of these kids won't realize it. They go, they'll see this when their classmate, you know, really, and they're excelling.
Kinda, and
it's not really, this isn't for me.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't even have to do it.
You don't have to do it.
You don't have to do it. They do it themselves.
And I think they should continue, even if it's not what they're going to do, because it still helps them. You know, it really still helps them.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming, and I've learned a lot, and maybe I need to, you know, spend a little more time, you know, on that train up to New York to see, you know, to see more plays, not only just the ones that are on Broadway, but off Broadway,
because and the writers, the playwrights, and, I mean,
because there are a lot of gems.
Yeah,
there are a lot of hidden gems.
Can I say one thing?
Go ahead.
The Dance Theater Harlem will be at the Harmon Hall in October.
Harmon Hall.
The Shakespeare Theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so please, let's get out there and support them.
Well, my question to you, when are you coming to take class?
Look, I teach a boot camp class. That's all I got for you, man. Hinton Battle and Andre Long, the dude, thank you both so much for coming in. I appreciate it. And good luck with Soul Dance and Barbecue.
Yeah, I'll see you there. Yeah.
That information will be on there. Just save me one rib. Just one rib. That's all I need.
And chicken.
who made the potato salad?
Right,
that's what I
want. Right.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, August 31st. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher at whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher, WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141.